This podcast was recorded on the first day of summer, Thursday, June 21st at 11:20 a.m. You know, things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like Rob Portman might actually give us a straight answer. Wait, never mind. Rob Portman did actually give us a straight answer.
Wow, hell has indeed frozen over. All right, let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics, following those snollygosters or ruthless politicians out there. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. This week was the week where immigration took over the news as a situation many people called a crisis played out on our southern border.
More than 2,300 children have been separated from their parents since the Trump administration's new zero tolerance policy on undocumented immigrants took effect last month. It has dominated the news cycle around the country, including right here in Central Ohio. Protesters spent at least 2 days this week on the streets of downtown Columbus calling on Rob Portman, Senator Rob Portman, and other Republicans to push back against child separation.
And Portman did. We often joke about Portman waffling on controversial issues. He also has this weird habit of taking a stance on something after it's been settled. But he was really out front on child separation. He says it runs counter to American values. He also says any legislative solution should include investments in detention facilities that can house entire families.
It's going to require more funding. I understand that, and I think that's important. But it's also going to require us to have this infrastructure ready and in place before we make changes in policy.
Portman's comments came on Tuesday. A day later, President Trump signed an executive order to stop the separation of immigrant families. Later on Wednesday, lawmakers were considering at least three different immigration bills. Two of those led to some GOP infighting on the House floor, setting the scene for a dramatic House floor vote on Thursday.
You know, a lot of lots of process here. Here to help us sort through the political fallout, which is a little confusing as to who's on which side, is Paul Beck, political scientist at Ohio State. Paul, welcome to Snollygoster, your first visit.
It is indeed. Good to be with you, Mike and Steve.
The images on TV this week were heart-wrenching. We saw the one photo of the little girl crying as her mom was being processed after days of blaming Democrats for its own policy, it's his own administration's policy. President Trump did something I didn't think he would do, Paul. He caved. He changed his mind publicly on an issue. Are you surprised by that?
I guess I was in a way surprised. He's been so secure in his positions on immigration that really represent the extremes on that issue. And of course, he doesn't like to back down from anything. Now, true to his style, when he did back down or cave, and I think he did cave on this, he blamed it on everybody else. He is not responsible for this, of course, and I think even his Republican friends in Congress are irritated with him because he's quite quick to point the finger at them, even though it was clearly administration policy that created the mess in the first place, and it's administration policy that was changed just yesterday. Although I should add here that I think we've only seen the first episode of the change. There's a lot that's going to have to fall in place.
Still a lot of families that are still separated.
Well, what do they do about the 2,300 kids? And it also is very clear to me, and you can see this, I think, even more clearly in recent days, that the administration was not ready to implement the policy.
That was Rob Portman's main criticism, that they put the horse ahead of the cart on this. They should have built facilities before they start separating families.
Absolutely. And they're spending billions of dollars to handle these kinds of problems, which are in many ways self-created. Now, there's an immigration issue here. And it's a very complex issue. It's been with us for a long time. It's not just people crossing over the borders, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not an issue, at least in this particular instance, that building a wall can fix, because these are people who are coming in mainly at the points of entry that the walls don't cover. But it's an unwillingness to basically process them quickly. Well, they are processing them quickly. They're prosecuting them for misdemeanors, separating families, of course, and that creates just enormous problems for the administration.
Let's talk about implications for Republicans running in the midterm election. Now, do you expect this to lead to an immigration reform bill that'll get this topic off the front page so they won't have to keep answering questions about it? Or is it?
You know, I'm pessimistic about a reform bill. I think there are too many moving parts that disagree with each other in the Congress. You have, in fact, if you want to think about it in this way, you've got a continuum here of people at one end, many of them in the Congress, many of them, well, all of them Republicans, who basically want to remove immigrants who are already here and let nobody else in. And then you've got a lot of people kind of in the middle at different positions. And then you have people all the way on the other end who really believe in open borders, more or less, that if people want to come to this country, we should be welcoming to them. We have been historically, and then there are times we haven't been historically. There are a lot of things that go into this mix. With low unemployment rates, there's a need for labor. Mm-hmm. And this labor is not going to be supplied by domestic workers. It's going to be supplied largely by people who are coming in from the outside, maybe migrant workers who are here for a while. But again, that's part of the issue there. Many of the businesses, if you listen to farmers in the Central Valley of California, they're dying because they can't market their crops, can't raise their crops. So there's that issue. There's the issue of the estimate is, 11 million people who are illegal immigrants here in the country right now, many of them brought in as children. So there's that issue to try to deal with. There's an issue of trying to bring in people as workers who are high-tech people, well-educated, many of them educated at our own universities.
Yep.
And what do? We drive them back home. And, of course, some of the high-tech industries are saying, wait a minute, we don't have enough people as computer programmers and other things. What we're doing is outsourcing that to India and other places.
And this the Republican Party is supposed to be the business-friendly party.
Exactly.
They're the pro-jobs party. Looking at the November midterm elections, you say you are pessimistic about an immigration bill. How do you think this image, how do you think the horrible audio of the children wailing in the immigration detention center, how do you think that affects the midterm elections?
Well, I think we're going to see it again in the ads that are run before the elections in November. The optics are horrible. And I think many Republicans in Congress realized that the optics were horrible, as did some people in the administration.
I think many would say that was the reason that the administration caved, the optics.
I think that's right. And the optics are horrible, and particularly because they weren't prepared. So you've got kids scattered all over the country. The question right now is, do they know where they are? Can they, even if they wanted to reconnect them with their families?
Yeah, we heard reports of children being sent to Michigan in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, Mayor de Blasio in New York said we found a whole bunch up in Harlem who were walking around with somebody from HHS in a facility there. We didn't know they were there. The HHS people who are handling these kids, I think, must feel horrible about it because they're told you can't do certain things with them. And so it's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
It's a self-inflicted problem.
They
could have just left the policy in place, dealt with them as – because President Obama was dealing with this, and he was sending a lot of folks back. He was nicknamed the deporter-in-chief.
Yes.
So – but anyway, it's that was Donald Trump's core issue that he ran on. You know, watching the Republicans respond to him, it was pretty – you know, among the – you know, except for the far, far right, most of them, John Kasich denounced it, Rob Portman, as we mentioned. Even Richard Cordray retweeted John Kasich, praising John Kasich for his stance on this issue. Any surprise there that – this is really the first time where a lot of Republicans just did a 180 and turned against the president.
You know, and it may be an issue like this that will lead a number of Republicans to say enough. Up till now, they've been very hesitant to oppose the president on much of anything, even though they're saying privately, and I'm sure thinking privately to themselves, this is something that I really am not supportive of.
You think it was the immigration policy or the The other thing was the shifting stories. I mean, the blatant falsehoods that administration officials and the president himself were saying that was proven over and again to be false. So it was the images of these kids, and then the media in particular went really hard after the administration statements on, in this case, I believe.
Well, I think the images are really powerful.
Yeah.
When you see, I remember the one of the little girls standing there as they are frisking her mother and reading her mother her rights. And this is a little girl who must be, I don't know, 3 years old. And I've got grandkids who are have been that age and a little older than that right now. And I'm thinking, well, okay, what if they would take one of my grandkids and just take him away from his parents, send him off somewhere else with strangers? You know, I think it's just a horrible situation. So that together with this cascade of covering lies, I think it's been too much for many people, many Americans, many voters, obviously. And I've always felt with Republicans in Congress, if they're going to come to oppose the president in some ways on policy, it's going to be because they are worried about their own skins politically.
Mike DeWine was one Republican who didn't come out strong against the president. He said that families should stay together, but he refused to call out Trump and the policy when a lot of other Republicans were doing that. But this has become a pattern for him. He refused to give a solid yes this week on gun control legislation before lawmakers, both tougher gun control and easier gun rights. Also, right-to-work legislation didn't give a solid answer. What do you make of that? Does he have to give solid answers at some point now that he's running for governor?
Well, he's clearly hitched his wagon to President Trump, as have many Republicans. One could understand a need to do that in the primary, where he was opposing a candidate who was probably even more supportive.
Mary Taylor, than Trump. I wondered how she would be reacting right now. Yeah. I haven't seen her.
Yeah, she might bend on the, who knows. But I think DeWine, you know, once he created this attachment to Trump, in some ways he's trapped by it. He, I think, is going to carry that into the general election, and he's placing a bet that it's going to be enough to be able to carry him to a victory here in Ohio. I think it's going to be a very competitive race, and it may not be enough.
If polls say it's basically a tie at this point.
Yes, yep. That's right.
Paul Beck, a political scientist at Ohio State University, joining us on Snollygoster. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, turning from Washington to the Ohio State House, guns were once again a big item of discussion.
Republican House leaders say they are ready to vote as early as next week on a bill to make Ohio a so-called stand-your-ground state that would eliminate the need to retreat before using deadly force in self-defense.
It would also eliminate a unique part of state law. In nearly all criminal proceedings, people are considered innocent until proven guilty. But Ohio is the only state in the nation where people accused of a crime who say they acted in self-defense have to prove that they did so. They have the burden of proof, the defendant. They are guilty in this case, in a sort of way of speaking, until proven innocent.
The self-defense bill comes as a wide-reaching gun control bill. Looks like it's going back on the shelf. The bill, sponsored by a Republican and backed by Governor Kasich, would ban the devices known as bump stocks. It would also make it easier for judges to order the seizure of guns from people. It would ban armor-piercing ammunition, and it would require all gun purchases to go into the statewide law enforcement database. But House Speaker Ryan Smith says his chamber will not be taking it up.
There's no gun law in America that's going to stop a lot of this. I mean, criminals don't abide by the law by their very nature. It's not to say that we're insensitive to it or don't want to do something on it. It's just people are very protective over the Second Amendment.
Mike, there was a lot of momentum for gun control after the Parkland, Florida school shooting. Any momentum that might have actually made its way to Ohio has gone back out to sea at this point. Lawmakers still very pro-gun and anti-gun control.
Yeah, it's maybe it took a little longer for the passion to fizzle out, but it's fizzled. It's probably maybe still strong in some states, perhaps down in Florida where the shooting happened. But it just shows you that lawmakers, particularly in Republican legislatures like Ohio, they are not going to weaken gun laws. They're not going to gun rights laws. They're not going to impose any kind of gun control, even as John Kasich says, common sense gun control.
And I was surprised to hear Ohio is the only state in the nation where the accused face the burden of proof to say they use self-defense. But there are some people who defend that part of state law that say it has a purpose.
Well, prosecutors don't want to see this change. And I'll just give you an example. Say a person is dealing drugs out of their apartment. Another person comes to buy drugs from that person, and there's an altercation. The person in the apartment who's selling the drugs shoots the guy who's buying the drugs. Well, now he can claim self-defense. He can claim that this guy came into his house and was threatening him, and he was only defending himself against this guy, when in fact, it was a drug deal gone bad. So prosecutors, they like the fact that this person now he has to prove that it was self-defense. That's why prosecutors like this. It makes it more clear for them and easier for them to prosecute crimes that are a result of an altercation or are not true cases of self-defense. It's an odd thing that where the defendant does have to prove his strategy to get a not guilty verdict.
And that comment from Ryan Smith about this gun control bill going back on the shelf, that came in his first real sit-down session with reporters, a quote-unquote brown bag lunch session. What do you think this says about the agenda of Ryan Smith? Is it just more business as usual for Republicans in the State House?
Yeah, he's not going to change the philosophy, I don't think. I don't think anyone really expected him to philosophically change how Cliff Rosenberger was running the House. It's a very conservative Republican House. The majority of the members, a good majority of the members, are Republican. They are not going to change their philosophy, certainly not in an election year with 6 months to go before voters start casting ballots.
And this bill, backed by Republican Michael Henney, it mirrors all the proposals that John Kasich was pushing. And this again shows the Ohio Republican Party's move away from John Kasich.
Yeah, John Kasich's a lame duck. He's got, nine months left to go before he is out of office. They never were in step with John Kasich on many things, Medicaid expansion being the big one. They never actually passed it. He had to get it passed through a procedural maneuver. And they're not going to go out on a limb for gun control with a governor who's, frankly, not that popular with Ohio Republicans right now.
Speaking of Kasich, let's catch up with him in our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS.
Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
We've got our GPS trackers out to find our governor, who this week went to New York. I'm still not entirely sure why. You know, Steve, maybe he loves New York in June. Maybe he loves a Gershwin tune. What about you, Steve?
I love New York in June. I don't think I've ever been there in June, but it sounds nice.
Judy Garland echoing in your mind.
I know, that one went over my head. I'll admit that.
All righty. He did the media rounds while he was there. Maybe that's why he was in New York. He loves being on MSNBC in June. And he spoke about immigration, of course, the topic of the week.
As we mentioned earlier, Kasich once again broke with President Trump. On MSNBC, he called the practice of separating families, quote, insane. He gave the administration a shred of credit for ending the practice. Then he told CNN that separation has still created a humanitarian crisis.
You bring all hands on deck is what you do. You bring everybody together and say, okay, how do we deal with this in a comprehensive way so we don't split families, so we show kindness, so that we love our children?
And that comprehensive way was nothing.
It's so easy.
He had no suggestions.
It's so easy.
Right, well, so
that's
easy.
That's how he wants to solve gun control. That's how he wants to solve
opiates,
the healthcare crisis.
Just bring people to the table and talk.
You know,
that's all he said.
If we could do that, it'd be great.
I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you?
And with Judy Garland's lovely tones, we will say this has been Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown from WOSU Public Media.
How about you? I'm mad about good books. Can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill, holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low.